You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org. Here's Pastor Greg Mott.
John chapter 8 is where we're going to be. And if you remember last week, as we've been going through John, last week we talked about the woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. A man as well caught in the very act of adultery, but they didn't bring the man before Jesus. And we saw Jesus do something amazing. They thought they were going to trap him. And instead, he balanced two things that seemed to be contradictory. He balanced truth, go and sin no more, and love, I don't condemn you. So those two things coming together, it baffled the people because they couldn't believe that he balanced two contradictory things. But that's what the Lord can do. He can balance faith and works. He can balance sovereignty and free will. He can balance truth. He can balance that with grace and love, justice and mercy. He can be imminent and huge, and he can be right here in our hearts as well. And so we saw the balance of that, and we've got to remember where we are in this passage. They're in a time of the Feast of the Tabernacles. And in this time of the Feast of the Tabernacles is when this lady is brought to him, and here she is standing before him, and he says, go and sin no more. And then we jump back in here where he's going to declare, it's a real simple message we have today. He's going to declare, I am the light of the world. In this Feast of Tabernacles, if you'll just kind of think back with me, when we went back into John chapter 7, when we were back in John chapter 7, he said, come to me whoever is thirsty, and I will give you drink. I will give you living waters flowing from you. It was a time in this Feast of the Tabernacles where they were celebrating God's faithfulness and leading them through the desert, through the wilderness time with Moses. And God led them through that time, and their sandals didn't wear out. They struck a rock and water flowed. Manna was found on the ground. They had bread, if you will, on the ground that they could eat. And God was faithful. So every October at the end of the harvest, they would celebrate the Feast of the Tabernacles. And at that moment, Jesus stands up and he says, I am the bread of life. You're celebrating about the manna over here and that God has provided bread for you. But I want you to know that was good bread. But I am the bread of life. Then he says in John chapter 7, you're celebrating that water came from the rock, but if you come to me, whoever is thirsty, and they take the water from the pool of Siloam, and they bring it, and they pour it out on the altar, and right after that, he declares, I'm the one that can give you water. I'm the one that can quench your thirst. And then they come now, and he declares that I am the light of the world. It's all in the context of this festival, of this time. Now, he's declared it to be that he can give you drink, he can break your thirst. He's declared it to be something that he can allow you, he can be the bread of life. And then what he does in this is he's going to say, I am the light of the world. Let's look in the passage of Scripture in John chapter 8, verse 12. We're just going to do one verse, but here it is. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Now, you can underline that if you want to. I got it underlined in my Bible with a number 2 next to it, and I'll tell you what the number 2 is in just a second. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In this time of the festivals, of celebrating the festival of the tabernacles, he is celebrating this, and he says, I am the light of the world. Now, here's what would happen. They would take these big torches, if you will, these big lights. Now, think about this time period. There's not artificial light like what we have now. You can't just flip on a switch and say, okay, here's light. It's nighttime. Here's light. You had to have a fire. There had to be some way of producing light. And they would take these huge torches, and they would walk them into the temple courts, and they put one on one side to light it up, and they put one on the other side to light it up. And those two flames signified, remember they're celebrating the faithfulness of God to Moses, signified that God led them through the wilderness with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. So these two lights are saying, this is how God led us. There was a pillar of fire by night and cloud by day. This is what one commentator said. On the first night of the feast, and probably the succeeding nights also, after the sun had rested, two great lamps were lit in the temple, or in the courts of the temple. And these were, have said, to cast their light over every quarter of the city. The lamps were meant to recall the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire that had accompanied people in their wanderings. One other man said this, men of piety and good works danced throughout the night, holding burning torches in their hands, singing songs of praise. And the Levitical orchestras cut loose. Some sources attest that this went on every night of the Feast of the Tabernacles, with the light from the temple area shedding its glow all over Jerusalem. So do you have the picture in your mind? They put these lights to signify a pillar of cloud, a pillar of fire, and it's saying, here's the light, and it's going to go off the Temple Mount and just cascade all throughout Jerusalem. At that point, Jesus stands up and says, I am the light of the world. Now, these are statements that are actually going to send him to the cross. Now, we look at this and we go, oh, and that's neat. Jesus is the light of the world. I knew he was a lot of things, but that's even cool that he's a light. Wow. This little light of mine, I'm going to. We go with a little cute side of it. Instead of realizing this was a huge statement, he's stepping forward. What was the word that Moses had from the Lord? Moses said, who do I say sent me? And God says, tell him I am who I am sent me. So Jesus steps up and he says, I am the light of the world. These torches are signifying to me. No, we're signifying Moses' leadership through the desert. No, that's signifying me. I am the cloud, the pillar of cloud. I am the pillar of fire. I am the light of the world. Now, Jesus is really bold on his I am statements. This is a huge part of John. So as we go through John for 2 years, I want to be able to ask you anytime, how many I am statements are there in John? And you'd be able to just know there's 7 I am statements in John. Here's what they are. I put them in your listening guide for you. I am the bread of life, chapter 6. I am the light of the world, chapter 8. I am the gate, chapter 10. I am the good shepherd, chapter 10. I am the resurrection and the life, chapter 11. Chapter 14 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Chapter 15 says, I am the true vine. Now, you don't have to have all those memorized and put in your mind, but we need to understand that the book of John is a declaration statement of who Jesus is. So he's saying, I am, and here are the 7 I am statements of John. And we're on number 2. That's why I wrote number 2 in my Bible next to it. I am the light of the world. Jesus declared this, and it was a huge, huge moment. John chapter 1, verse 4, he had already declared this, in him was life, and the life was the light of all mankind. Our world needs light. We need light to be able to see. We need light to be able to walk out our lives. King George VI said this in 1939. He said this to the Commonwealth in England on Christmas Eve on his broadcast. He said, I asked the man at the gate to give me a light that I may walk safely into the unknown. And the man at the gate said to me, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God, and it shall be safer than the light and better than the known. Hear it again. Go out into the darkness and put your hand in the hand of God, and it shall be unto you safer than the light and better than the known. Oftentimes, we want the known instead of our hand in God. We want the display of what's going to happen instead of our hand in God. But if we'll put our hand in God's hand, here's what happens. You've just put your hand in the hand of the light of the world. He is the light of the world. So now your path can be shown. Your path can be lived out. He is the light of the world. No question about it. No second chances about it. He is the light of the world. Now, he gets to another thing if you'll follow in your scripture. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. Following the light of the world brings obedience. Following the light of the world brings obedience. So what do you need to do to walk with God? Follow the light of the world. Now, a lot of times you come to church and you got a whole bunch of things to do. Here's what we're going to tell you to do. You need to do more of this. You need to do more of that. You need to hear more. You need to listen more. You need to quit this and start this. Do all these things. And what can happen to us is we can actually get weighed down with one more spiritual thing to do. And I know for me as a type A person, sometimes hearing more than I need to do is actually the most discouraging thing I could be taught. Because I'm already beating myself up on the guilt of what I haven't done already. And I think, well, I don't fast enough, and I don't pray enough, and I don't give enough, and I don't do this enough, and I don't read enough, and people are smarter, and people are this and that. Boom, 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 boom. And you can get, and you can have more things to do. Let me just tell you, I'm not trying to give you another thing to do. I'm trying to give you somebody to follow. If you follow the light of the world, you will not walk in darkness. You follow Jesus, and sin will not be what you are thirsty for anymore. You follow Jesus, and he'll begin to take you out of darkness. It's interesting what happens in John chapter 13, verse 30. We see this painting of Scripture of light is walking with God, darkness is walking with the enemy. Light is holiness, darkness is sin. Here's what happens in John chapter 13, verse 30. You know this verse, but you just didn't know that you knew it. Judas takes the bread and he's betrayed Jesus. Remember, dipped it in the cup. Whoever I give this to is the one that's going to betray me. Judas takes the bread. And it says that Judas walked out after taking the bread. And here's the quote in Scripture. He says, the writer says, and it was night. He's not trying to tell us what time of day it is. He's saying Judas is going to betray Jesus. And when he walks out, it's night. He is not following the light of the world. He is walking in betrayal to the light of the world. And therefore, it is night. Following and believing in the light of the world walks out your purity and your sanctification. So can I tell you this? Relax. It's not 10 more things to do. It's somebody to follow. When you don't know where you're going, you do know who you're following. When you don't know what to do, you do know who to be. When I don't know what to say, I do know where to point. When I'm unclear of what's happening this way, I know I need to be looking up this way and getting down this way on my knees. He is the light of the world. And light, by definition, expels darkness. Now, we, a couple weeks ago, trying to be a prepared group of people, we went, husbands, sometimes we say we when your wife does it, right? You know, that counts every once in a while. We cooked dinner tonight. No, we did not cook dinner tonight. I cooked dinner tonight. But we, really, Kelly, went and decided, we thought, you know, I've lived in Houston my whole life. I'm a native Houstonian. We never had a hurricane kit. We just kind of panicked 2 days before and just go out and fill the bathtub with water and, you know, buy everything everybody else is buying, you know, and then hunker down and watch the news. That's what we do. And we go, poor Beaumont and poor Corpus Christi is what usually happens. Because it kind of goes like that, right? So we decided we were going to get a hurricane kit. So she was headed to Home Depot or Lowe's or one of those kind of places. So we got a Tupperware thing, hurricane kit. Okay, I did write that, though, so I'm a part of it. So we got a hurricane kit. I wasn't a part of getting the hurricane kit. I didn't know she was going to get the hurricane kit. She just kind of came up with the idea, we need to get a hurricane kit. You know, it's good. It's kind of, you know, moms are ultra safe, you know, where it's like, well, what's going to happen? I call it mom goggles. You know, it's like, what's going to happen? The kids, are they okay? They're fine. They're sitting on a couch. They're fine. It's mom goggles. Whoa, what's going to go wrong? Right? I'm like, they're standing on that. Let them fall off and they'll never stand on it again. No, we must dive and catch them. No. Let them fall off, and they won't do it again. So she went out and had the mom goggles on, I guess, is what was happening. And so she thought, you know what? I remember last time in the hurricane, we didn't have enough light, so I'll get us a light. And you know what? I remember we didn't have enough light when it kept going on. And so we need to make sure that we get enough light because last time we didn't have enough light. So somehow we just started figuring out how much light we could get. So this is our hurricane. I mean, I pulled this out of the bathroom this morning. It's in the little cupboard underneath the sink. And so we've been able to do that. And so then every flashlight we own never has batteries, okay? So we got to get a lot of flashlights going. We even bought one that we plug into the wall. And when you know it, when we went to get it plugged out, pull out of the wall, it didn't work. You know, so it was the wildest thing. So we wore that thing out. So we got another thing, and we got another one, another little light thing. And then this one, so in this one you can even kind of do a little bug light, you know, because we have bugs in our house or something like that. So we got all these lights that we've got going here. And then finally we ended up with a radio. It's one of those like little crank emergency radios. So we can kind of do the Gilligan's Island type thing, you know, and check that out. But I want you to know, it's got a light, okay? So we got another light happening here. We got this. And in case any of our lights go out, we got batteries. So now we got batteries and we got lights. That's all we got. The only thing left in the hurricane kit was a gum wrapper I found this morning. That was it. Which means one of our kids went through it and went, oh, okay, I got some gum. That wasn't any fun. And went like that and took off. Isn't that interesting that the store trip, every memory was of being in darkness. And every purchase was a statement of get me to the light. Every one of them. We've got the whole thing here. Now, I know we should add some things to our hurricane equipment. Please don't email me all that we should add. We'll figure it out. But we've got all of these lights that enable us to see into the darkness. And isn't that a part of the human existence? When things are dark, we say, give me the light. Somebody turn on a light. I can't really see. What's the light? Where are we going? I can't see this. I can't see the hand in front of my face. Light brings obedience. If you follow the light of the world, your marriage will not fall into adultery, because adultery is darkness and marriage staying together is light. When you follow the light of the world, your mind will be transformed and renewed into Christ. So you follow the light of the world. So don't hear another 15 things to do, particularly guilt-ridden type A people. Rest, relax, and follow the light of the world. The light of the world will bring you obedience. Second thing that the light of the world will do is he'll bring you clarity. He'll bring you clarity. Following the light of the world brings clarity. Look at what happens here at the end of verse 12. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Do you see clarity in that? You'll never walk in darkness. That's a part of it. Obedience will come if you follow the light of the world. And you will walk and you'll have the light of life. Many of us are unclear in the direction in which we're going because we are not following the light of the world. Darkness, you might want to write this down. Darkness clouds our vision and darkness limits our view. Darkness clouds our vision and limits our view. That's what we'll say. It was so dark, I couldn't see the hand in front of my face. It clouded my vision. It limited my view. And when you don't have a clear vision and you don't have a good view, it's because you're spending time possibly in the darkness and you don't have clarity in that. This is what the Word says in Psalms 1, verse 1, chapter 29. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 56, verse 13. For I have been delivered from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the God before God in the light of life. Psalm 104, verse 2. The Lord wraps himself in light as a garment and stretches out the heavens like a tent. So if we follow the light of the world, it's going to bring clarity to our life. Think of what they're celebrating. They're celebrating God's faithfulness in the desert and the journey. How many landmarks are there in the desert? You'll just walk up and say, okay, you're going to get to this big pool of water and then make a right. Then when you get to the next Exxon, make a left. No. It's sand. There's mirages in the desert. Things look close and then they end up far away. So God gave them a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud to guide them because he knew there was mirages. He knew there was deception. So God gives us through Jesus the light of the world because he knows there's mirages in this world. And there's deceptions in this world. And so we got to keep our eyes on the light of the world and let him be the one that we follow. Darkness clouds our vision and limits our view. Let me just be a little bit vulnerable to you here. About 5 years ago, I think I'd been the pastor here about 2 years. And so we were ramping up and going forward and God was doing great things. And we were just kind of discovering who we're going to be and where we're going to go and those sort of things. And I began to have nightmares. It wasn't about church stuff. It's about kind of different things I won't get into. But I just began to have a couple nightmares. And often I don't give Satan enough credit, right? Most of the time I'm kind of the theology that we don't really talk about him and darkness and all those sort of things. But I really in my heart, I believe in spiritual attack. I really do. I believe that the enemy comes after us in different ways. And again, I'm wanting to learn and grow in that so that I can understand that even better because I don't really give him enough credit is typically where I lie. Well, I began to have nightmares and one night I woke up and I just felt like there was just evil. Just evil. It's the only way I can explain it. And the first thought in my mind was this. Go to the light. Go to the light. That's the first thing I thought. I don't know why. It just came in my mind. Go to the light. I'm feeling darkness. Go to the light. So I woke up out of our bedroom, and I went out of our bedroom. It's on the, we have a two-story house. It's on the bottom floor. And we leave the stair light on for our kids. Isn't that interesting? The human nature, we want a light. So all of our kids want us to leave a light on, right? Because Jesus is the light of the world, and they want to be close to Jesus all night long. It's what it is. God's put it in there, into your heart. So I went to the bottom of the staircase, and the lights are up at the top, and that's the place where I knew we kind of kept the light. And I just kind of came in at whatever time in the morning, and I just literally laid down there on the stairs, and I just began to pray. And the only thing I knew how to do was just go to the physical light as a spiritual representation of the spiritual light. And I just began to pray, and I just said, Lord, you expel darkness. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. He has bruised your heel. You have crushed his head. I just began to just recite as many scriptures as I could think about that were about darkness and light and the enemy and God's victory. And I just prayed, and I just sensed the peace of the Lord. Peace of the Lord. Nothing wacky happened. Things didn't start flying through the house. I mean, you know, it was just, in my heart, I just sensed a peace. And then I thought, well, man, I left Kelly in the room with all the evil. I should have probably woken her up. Honey, come on, we got to get to the light. What are you talking about? You know, I was like, well, maybe it was just me, I hope. So I went back in, and she was in there, and it was fine. Her head spun around a few times, but it was fine. Just kidding. Really, really, just kidding. She's the godliest person I know, and I mean that. But I just needed in my heart and my soul, I needed to be in the light. And so I tell you just a simple message. Jesus is the light of the world. And if you will follow and walk in the light of the world, obedience to Christ will take care of itself. It really will. You'll hear his voice, and he'll call you to do things that are a challenge, yes, but you'll step out because you'll keep walking into greater and greater light. And when you walk into greater and greater light, clarity will become greater in your life. You'll understand more of what it means, because if you discover the God of God's will, you'll discover the will of God. Get to know him and do what he does. And if those two simple truths will be in your life of getting to know who God is and doing what God does, then you'll be able to let that walk out in your life, and the light of the life will come into your life, and you'll be able to follow. Saul, chapter 9, bad guy. The light blinds him. He looks up and he says, who are you who is persecuting me? And it's straightforward. It is Jesus. It is me, Jesus, who is persecuting you. Who's giving this light? He said, is Jesus, why are you persecuting me? So Jesus is the light. Then we get to the end of chapter 9, and Saul is now Paul, and now his life is being lived for the glory of God. If you'll look into the blinding light of Jesus, the obedience will take care of itself, and the clarity will come. It says, whoever follows me, one last thing, and then we'll wrap up. Following means believing. Following means believing. Now, there are two different Greek words that he uses in the book of John, but they're words that are synonymous. They're a lot closer than what we think. Let me give you an example. In John chapter 12, verse 46, John chapter 12, verse 46, you don't have to turn there, I'll tell it to you. It says this, and see if it sounds like the verse that we're going over right now. It says, I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me shall stay in darkness. The verse we're going over is, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. So believing and following are very synonymous. They're together. Now, what we've done in America is we've separated believing and following. So how many people in your family, how many people in your neighborhood, how many people in your workplace, if you were to ask them, do you believe in Jesus? They go, oh, yeah, sure, we believe in Jesus, of course. I mean, what else? We're not Hindu, we're not Muslim, we're not Buddhist. I mean, we believe in Jesus. If you were to walk in and say, how many of you follow Jesus? Well, yeah, yeah, well, no. How many of the people in our own families believe in Jesus, and right now, Sunday morning, you know they have nothing to do with church? It didn't even enter their mind to go to church. It never even put into their mind to get their Bible. They couldn't find their Bible. They probably own one, but they couldn't find it. But they believe, but they don't follow. Separating belief and following is very American, but it is not biblical. If you believe, you follow, and the more you follow, the more you believe, because you see God in his faithfulness and his strength. The more light you get, the more darkness goes out. The more you believe in the light of the world, the more you follow the light that he's given you. Believing leads to following, and following leads to believing, and believing leads to following. So I believe in Jesus, and salvation kind of belief. Jesus, I want you to be my Savior, wash me clean, live in my heart. And now I believe, and now I start following, and I go, whoa, wow, he is amazing. So now I believe more. You won't believe what he did. I just saw him do this at my workplace. I just saw him do this in my home. I just saw him answer this prayer. I saw him do this. So now I believe even more, so I follow even more, so I believe even more, so I follow even more, so my path is lit even better and even brighter. So now I just think in my mind when I'm in a time of darkness, go to the light. I don't know what to do in my business, go to the light. I don't know what to do in my family, go to the light. I don't know what to do in my ministry, go to the light. I don't know where God wants me to serve, go to the light. And when you get to the light, he'll then shine the light on your path in the hurricane of your heart. Will be calmed by the light of the world. Simply this, discover who he is and do what he does. I wanted to entitle my book, Finding the God of God's Will is what I wanted to call it. And the publisher said, that's a terrible title. And so I said, okay, thank you. That hurts my feelings. But you know what? They don't really care about hurting your feelings. So that's good. So they thought Finding God's Will would be better. But here was my point, because it's still the whole book. Find the God of God's will, and you'll find the will of God. Walk to the light, and it'll take care of the darkness. Come to the place of clarity, and he'll show you the path and show what happens. Do what he does because you've discovered who he is. Discover who he is and do what he does, and you will have greater light in your life, and it'll make sense. Won't be easy, but it'll make greater sense. Close with this illustration, and then we're done. I went running this week at Memorial Park. I like to run, you know, and maybe lift some weights every once in a while. I'm never going to be like the turned up John chapter 8 dude, you know, I mean, that sort of thing. But I can at least, you know, I want to be able to play with my kids and keep up with them and, you know, and not, you know, drop dead of queso in my heart at 50, you know. So, I went running. And when I went out there running, I like running at Memorial Park. It's a great thing. You get on that kind of little three-mile loop that goes around. And there's three different kinds of people at Memorial Park that run at Memorial Park. There's the ultra-fit that run at Memorial Park. And they're like sleek, and you see them a couple times because you're running, and they go, woo, woo, woo. And you're like, it's like mercury around the sun compared to the earth, okay? And they're just like, boom, boom, boom. And most of the guys that are ultra fit, they don't even wear shirts. They're just like chiseled. Wow. Foom, foom, foom. Little glisten on their brow. But the ones that do wear shirts, their shirts say Houston Marathon, 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, 89, 89, 90, 91, 92. I mean, it's just like, meh, you know, foom, foom, foom. To which we look and we're like, your body's your idol. You shouldn't do that. And they're running. So you got the ultra fit, and they're cruising, right? Then you got the staying fit. That's a category I think I'm in. You know, just the staying fit, just trying to do your best. You miss some days, you make some days. You get sore in the morning. You want to quit halfway through. You just kind of normal fit, just staying fit. And your shirt or my shirt is just kind of whatever T-shirt you picked up. It might say Nike. It's something you bought at an academy, or you just kind of threw it on. And so I was running the other day and passed up this girl. You impressed? I passed up a girl. And so she had on her back Houston's First Baptist Church. So I said, hey, and just kind of kept running by. And, hi, well, that's weird. I passed her as a person. So I kept going by. It's just kind of a normal shirt, right? So you got the ultra fit, all the marathon stuff. You got the staying fit, just kind of normal stuff. And then you got the need to be fit, right? And they're out there. And their shirt says sponsored by Shipley's is what it says. And they're going. They're sweating. Their face looks like this is miserable. Why does anybody do this? This is terrible. But let me tell you what. My favorite people are the need to be fit people when I see them running. They're my favorite ones. Because I see all the ultra fit and they're going crazy and they've got the genetics to do all this. I see the staying fit and it's just kind of happening. But the need to be fit, I love them. I love seeing them. I love seeing them out there just going for it, as slow as it is maybe, or as sweaty as it is maybe, whatever it is. I'm like, you go. Wonderful. And as I was running this week, I thought this. I think for me, that's a spiritual kind of deal because this is it. I love seeing the need to be fit spiritual people take the next step. I love it. More than the ultra fit, boom, we got it. We know it in the Greek and the Hebrew. More than the staying fit, oh yeah, I missed my quiet time once in January and I feel bad about it. I mean, it's just the need to be fit. All this message, I'm coming down for you. From you, for you, for you, for you. To say this. You have a lack of clarity in your life and you know it. You have a lack of fellowship in your life and you know it. Your view is clouded and you know it. And I'm hearing, I want you to hear me say, just take another step on the track. Just walk one more step in the light. Just take another step and you'll find that the darkness will begin to get further and further behind you. And the light will begin to light up. And you'll begin believing in Christ as you're reading and listening and worshiping and going to Bible study or whatever it is. Not just the things to do, that's not what I'm trying to say. But you'll follow the light of the world. And when you follow the light of the world, you'll realize He's all you need. He's all you need. And the hurricane of your heart will calm. So ultra fit, Navy SEALs, keep on going. It's great. Staying fit, that's where most of the Christian life is lived. But the need to be fit, you're gonna deceive yourself if you just show up every week and stay at the same place. Take a step. Walk in the light. Because Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.